Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. We're going to begin reading this morning at verse 4 through the end of the chapter. Rather than taking a verse-by-verse exposition of this section, because just a few months ago we went through this particular chapter, I want to do more of an overview of the indictment that God made against the children of Israel. And specifically, He shows in these verses, verses 4 through the end of the chapter, what He was talking about in verse 2, where He said that there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. And in verse 4 through the end of the chapter, He's going to give illustrations of how this has taken place. And He is going to go after one specific group that has condoned and allowed this activity within the nation. And that is the nation's priests. The religious leaders of the land of Israel were guilty of, first of all, not preaching God's word with clarity, and secondly, by allowing and condoning wicked activity without saying anything against it. These are the two major areas that God brings out in His indictment against the children of Israel. He goes after the leadership, and I think it's important to remind you that whenever God called Hosea to experience what he experienced, to marry a harlot, to go through all the heartache and the things that transpired there, God allowed him to experience that and live that so that he could preach and proclaim God's side of things. That was God's answer to Israel's problem. It was the preaching of the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? Because today we are told that that's not the answer to this world's problem. It's not in the preaching of the Word of God. It's in other areas. It's in programs. It's in seminars and workshops. That's where we get the answers. They know it's found simply in the preaching and proclaiming of the Word of God. And the reason that the nation went down the road of idolatry and unfaithfulness to God was because her priests were not preaching the Word of God. And I'm going to say this. America is going down the road of decline because her preachers are not preaching the Word of God. They're preaching messages that fit the culture and that fit the ears of those who want to hear. They are preaching to people with itching ears. And they will not touch certain topics specifically related to sin. They will not touch them because they are afraid that the people won't come back. And if they don't come back, we can't pay for the facilities. We can't pay for all of these things. How can we do that? How can we pay for our missionaries if we confront them in their sin? So what happens is they button up when it comes to difficult issues that need to be dealt with. And just like in Israel's past, the priests were silent as sin was going on. And when the priests were silent, the people said, hey, the priests aren't saying anything about it. It must be all right. And the people of America are doing the very same thing because the preachers are silent about our sin. They say, well, if the preachers aren't saying anything, it must be all right what we're doing. That is a prescription for disaster. It is a prescription for disaster. And God says, I have a problem with your priest, Israel. Two areas. They haven't preached my word, and they have condoned your sin without saying a word. They've been silent about your sin. And so that's what we're going to read here beginning at verse 4. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another. Now here's an interesting thing. Hosea's preaching his message. He said, don't be looking at each other and pointing the finger. God already knows the problem. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Now we know who he's talking about. He's talking about the priesthood of Israel, the high priest, and those that were charged with the communication of God's word. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priest. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough, They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. In other words, they will not have children because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. In other words, he said they're going to fall because of the consequences of their sin. I'm not going to have to send a special judgment. Because inherent in their sin are the consequences that are going to come. I won't have to do a special judgment. They're going to have to deal with the consequences of their sin. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven. Interesting. They didn't worship at Beth-Aven. Where did they worship? Bethel. But he changes the name here. You know what Beth-Aven means? The house of wickedness. He changed the name. Bethel was the place of worship. Beth-El means the house of El Elohim, the house of God. But he said, you go up and you worship at Beth-Haven, the house of wickedness, because you've turned my house from the house of God into a house of wickedness. Nor swear the Lord liveth, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. This is one of the most astounding passages of Scripture, I believe, in the Bible, because God puts the blame upon the religious leaders of Israel. They have not, number one, they have not preached the Word of God. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. And secondly, they have not spoken out against the sin of the people, like priest, like people. All right? Those are two phrases that we're going to share with you this morning that I think will help us, because I see the very same things happening in America today. Let us pray. Father, bless your word this morning. Pray that you might bless the reading of your word, but also the study of your precious word. Lord, as we hone in on these two thoughts this morning, I pray that you might give us ears to hear. Lord, we live in the day and age of itching ears. Not ears willing to hear what you have to say from your word, but ears that want to hear only what they want to hear. Lord, we know that that is a sign of apostasy. That is a sign of the end times, when people heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Lord, we see that all about us. It's time that we wake up. It's time that we see the truth. And we pray that your holy word would speak to us, for I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Number one this morning, I want you to see how the priests misled the people by not teaching the Word of God. God's complaint against the priests was they were not teaching the Word of God. Because the priests refused to know the Lord, neither did the people know the Lord. As parents, we bear a tremendous responsibility before God to lead our children into paths of righteousness. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You and I, as Christian parents, have a responsibility to lead our children in paths of righteousness. If you're not leading your children in paths of righteousness, then they're going in the paths of the devil. Unrighteousness. What makes us think that if we choose to do something different from the Word of God, that we're going to come out at a different conclusion than the Word of God says? It's the fog of not knowing the Word of God. When you stop studying the Word of God, you stop reading the Word of God, you stop applying the Word of God in your own personal life, there is a fog that comes over your mind and you stop thinking clearly. You don't understand the truth. You can't make clear decisions. You don't have understanding about what's going on because you've left the knowledge of the Word of God. What did Hosea say? My people are destroyed. God told him to tell him, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It wasn't terrorism that was their problem. It wasn't an enemy from without. It was an enemy from within. It was the priests not teaching them the Word of God. Oh, what an important role preachers of America have today to preach the Word of God. But you know what? We've come to a place today, Mr. O'Pager and I were talking about this yesterday, where preachers are like a person that comes along. I brought along my owner's manual for my air conditioning system that was installed this summer as an illustration. Now, my wife has exceptional hearing. I mean, it's unbelievable. Middle of the night, my wife elbowed me and says, don't you hear that? Don't you hear that? And I perked up and our fire alarm was chirping. I didn't even hear it. It was going, beep. You know how it does when the battery's out? And so I got up and I started the search for batteries and I couldn't find any. So I went back in there, much to my wife's chagrin. I just crawled right back into bed, went back to sleep. And she kind of did a double take. She couldn't handle it. I'm deaf. I'm part deaf anyway. And so it didn't bother me. I just go let it chirp in the morning. We'll get a battery, whatever, you know, do that. Now, the problem is if you pull a battery out of our system, all of them start chirping. They go into this chirp. Beep, beep, beep. I was just being kind to my children. I didn't want to wake them up, so I went back. She got up, went to Walmart. This was at 4:30 in the morning, right? And she went and got a battery, and she came in, and she poked me. Here's the battery. This was 5:30 in the morning. So I got up, and I went and got my stool, and I climbed up, and I pulled the battery out, and I changed it in, and I put it back, and I went and crawled back under the cover, and I was back out again, all right? Now, my wife has exceptional hearing, and she approached me, Thursday or Friday, and she says, we've got a problem with our air conditioning system, our heating system. It's making a noise. So I went over there, and I listened to it, and I said, honey, it's not even on. She said, well, there's a noise, and the kids have heard it. Gregory's heard it. And she went there. So yesterday we were sitting on the couch, and we hit the mute button, and I said, all right, I want to find out this mysterious noise. Now, she'd already gotten out our owner's manual, okay? She wanted to find out if somewhere in here it said makes strange noises in the wintertime when the heat's on. I'm sure that's what she was looking for, all right? By the way, they gave us two of these, all right? Now, I listened. I didn't hear anything. And we're waiting for that mysterious noise to come back out again. But I remember the meeting that we had this past summer. They installed the whole unit in it. And he gave us these manuals. And he said, all right, if you have any problems, consult the manual. Give us a call. Now, when he came to us, he didn't say, you know what, Mr. Brainerd? I tell you what we're going to do. I'm only going to give you page 7 out of the manual. I don't think you need the rest of it. You'll probably not need. Now, if you'll notice, page 7, let's see if I can find it again. I had it here. Page 7 has to do with the electric heater installation. Got a schematic right here. That's helpful for me. I know nothing about electronics. But right there, it gives you all the schematic diagrams of how things are wired up inside that unit. That's great. If he said, all right, Todd, whoosh, here's page 7. Here's what you need. You don't need anything else. Is that going to be satisfactory? I'm sorry, but I want the whole manual, thank you. I want to know everything I need to know about this unit. Now think for just a moment. What have we done with the Word of God? What have preachers of America done? They basically have come to you, the people of America, and they said, listen, we're just going to take a few messages out of God's Word. Here you go. Live on those. You don't need the rest. That's why the book of Hosea is ignored. You go online and try to find sermons on the book of Hosea. You'll hardly find any. I could tell you of one website of a man that's nationally known as a great expositor of the Word of God. And he's got every book of the Bible of his sermon series that he's done. And when you go to Hosea, there's one. He has 35 years of messages that he's preached from his pulpit, and there's only one message from Hosea. It was preached in 1980. Now why? I couldn't help but think, why would people ignore this book? Because it goes cross against our culture today. It goes cross-grain against our culture. We don't like to be told that we're sinners. And so what had the priest done? Because the generation of that day did not like to hear that they were sinners, the priest said, all right, we're not going to teach God's Word. We're talking about the whole counsel of God. I'm so thankful that Dr. Hobbs many, many years ago established a pattern of teaching through the Word of God. And if you go back and you look over the history of this church, we have covered just about every book of the Bible. Just preaching, expository. Sunday school, church. Pastor Watt's done several books since he's been with us. We've been able to walk through the Scriptures. Why? Because we need the food of God's Word. And we need it from every part of God's Word. Why? Because one of these days, Pastor Watt and I are going to have to stand before the throne of God. And we're going to have to give an account of this book, what we taught. And if we only stuck to the New Testament and preached our favorite passages, we will have done you a misservice. We will have denied you the truth. You see, you cannot have a New Testament until you have an Old Testament. Some people like to ignore the Old Testament. They don't like some of the things that go on in there. And so the culture dictates that certain books of the Bible, those are outdated, don't need to be preaching those. Let me tell you something. We need every part of the Word of God. You will not have the whole truth and nothing but the truth if you leave out certain sections of the Bible. I'm telling you, this is the truth. The priest decided that they were not going to teach the whole counsel of God to the children of Israel. And as a result, we have chapter 4, the indictment. They had become a people who swore, lied, killed, stole, committed adultery. Violence was there. Why? Because the priest stopped preaching the Word of God. What has America become? What has America become? It's become a place where mothers kill their children. It seems like it's almost monthly now. Just this past week, we had two instances. One girl had two babies, had twins born. She had them at her house. She killed them and then put their bodies in the trunk of the car. And people began to notice, weeks went by, and people began to notice that she wasn't pregnant anymore. Said, is everything all right? Oh yeah, everything's fine. She lied. I really wasn't pregnant. But then the smell began to permeate. Well, what's going on here? And they found those two babies killed in the trunk of the car. So she could go back to her lifestyle with all of her friends at the clubs at night, unbothered by her children. We become a nation of violence. We become a nation where our preachers are not sounding forth the whole truth of God's Word, only preaching things that people like to hear. And as a result, we are paying the price in America. Serious price. You've got to be absolutely blind if you don't see it. Where our politicians tell us anything and everything we want to hear. We don't know how to. We've got people who believed one way, now they believe another way. We don't know where we stand anymore. Why? Because the truth has been sacrificed. The truth has been sacrificed. God holds pastoral leadership responsible for leading people down the road to destruction. And that's exactly what happened in Israel. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee that thou shalt be no more priest to me. The priests had failed to teach the people the life-giving Word of God. There were false prophets in Israel, but these priests were just silent about the Word of God. It wasn't that they were preaching error, they just weren't preaching truth. It's not enough not to teach error. May I say that again? It's not enough not to teach error. Well, we're not teaching error. Yeah, but you're not teaching the whole counsel of God. You're not giving the full message out. You're just giving pieces and parts. Can you imagine if your doctor treated you that way? Just gave you little bits and pieces. Well, we got your x-ray back. Okay? We got your x-ray back. Well, thank you. What did x-ray say? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Just it's enough for you to know that I got the x-ray back. Well, I need to know more than that. I need to know more information than that. How can I? I'm responsible for my health. You understand that? Your doctor's not. Some people think their doctor's responsible. You're responsible. You're the one that has to make the decisions. You're the one that has to face whatever facts come your way. Would you trust a physician that didn't give you all the information? Absolutely not. You'd be looking for another one. I'm going to find somebody who's going to tell me the truth. What's going on? How I should deal with it? You wouldn't want. Well, what is it about today that we trust our preachers today? Now, praise God for everyone that's faithful. But we've got some that are out there that aren't preaching God's Word, and everybody, can't wait. Joel Osteen has millions and millions of followers. He's got millions on his Facebook page. He's got people watching him, and the man doesn't teach truth. And people can't see that. They see his smile. They see his charisma. He's funny as all get out.
Why couldn't Pastor Todd be as funny as Joel Osteen?
I don't know. But there are people that they're glued to the tube to watch him. And they soak in everything. But he doesn't teach the gospel. Just this past month, he came out with the truth that God is not going to send people to hell because he's a loving God. He's come to understand this truth after his study of the Word of God. What? He came to this truth? That God's not going to send sinners to hell that reject Him because He's an ultimately a loving God and He's going to make a way to save everybody. Listen, He made a way through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can dream all you want to, but if you reject Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, there is no other way. And I don't care if Joel Osteen says there is another way. You can be funny, charismatic, likable, good-looking, but you're still getting the wrong message. You're still getting the wrong message. It's time that we wake up in America today. It's time that we wake up and say, listen, according to the Bible, that's wrong. But most people don't know their Bibles. They're just like Israel. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't take time to read their Bibles. Get bits and pieces. You come to church so irregularly, and then when you come, you don't get it all. And so it's like walking out with just a little sliver of a manual. And this is what I'm going to base my life on. Is that adequate? Is that adequate? Let me ask you the question again. Is that enough? No, it's not enough. You've got to saturate your... You've got to be like the Bereans. When the Apostle Paul stood and spoke, they said, we're going to go home and check this out. Thank you. We're going to check him out. Wait a minute, that was the Apostle Paul that spoke. Yes, but we want to make sure that he's right with the Word of God. That's not pride. That's understanding. Oh, how we need that attitude today. The Bible was not authoritatively proclaimed with all of its claims. That was the problem in Israel. The background of their sin was a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. If you are a Christian, the minute you get away from the Word of God, now listen to me, the minute that you get away from the Word of God, you are doomed to failure. And I say that on the authority of the Word of God. The minute that you start operating your life apart from this book, studying this book, you are doomed to failure. You will not succeed. Mr. O'Pager talked about that. You're driving on a bridge. Remember whenever the bridge was washed out during Hurricane Ivan? There was a man that was driving along during the storm and did not realize that a wave had come through and taken out a section, and his semi-rig, the front part of it went off. He was thrown out of his cabin and his body was found near Gulf Power, washed out by the storm. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if there had been some way to stop him from going over that edge and dying? You would want somebody, if they knew, to put out flares and to stand there and say, don't go, you will die. But our preachers have said, put away the flares. Put away the caution lights. Let the people have their cake. Yeah. Let the people have their cake and eat it too. Give them what they want. It's not what the Bible says. Regardless of the number of workshops, conferences, and seminars you may attend that tell you how to be a success in your home, your business, or in your social life, you will be a failure if you're not in this book. You're not soaking and saturating your heart and mind and applying the Word of God. The Bible makes it crystal clear that we do not live the Christian life by gimmicks and methods, but by a personal knowledge of the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ written as a person. And the more you study the Word of God, the closer you get to the person of Jesus Christ. You can't live your life with a gimmick and with a program, with a plan. You got to be in the Word of God. This is the reason I'm concerned with the teaching of the Word of God. Let me ask you this morning, why are so few preachers preaching the whole counsel of God? It's because they've accepted the culture and how things are. You can't change the way things are. If you can't beat them, join them. The book of Hosea confronts the kingpin sins of our day. You know what they are? Lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. As a result, all of the things, the violations of the Ten Commandments that are given here. We live in a nation of liars. People that swear oaths but don't keep them. I am appalled today at some of the solutions that are out there for our problems. We have people who have taken out student loans who, when they take them out, they say they're thinking the government will forgive them. Why? Because that's what's happened. I can take out this loan, I'll never have to pay it back because the government will forgive it sooner or later. I have no intention. We live in a nation of people that take it off. They signed a paper that said that they'd pay it back, but it doesn't mean anything. We have come to that place today. We have rampant cheating in our colleges today. I mean, it's everywhere. You go online and read the teachers that are talking about it. It's unbelievable the cheating that's taking place. Is that a problem? Absolutely. It's a problem. Committing adultery. You wouldn't think it, but it's a serious problem in the church today. Very serious problem, where marriage is not honored in the church. Where you've got people that are involved with other people in immoral sexual lifestyles. The failure of leadership resulted in the rejection of the priesthood who failed to do their job. God intended that the whole nation of Israel be priests unto Him. In the millennium, they will be. But at this time, God says, you are not even going to have priests. Why? Because the Bible says here in verse 6, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. That's the reason. Because they have gone through a long, sordid history of departing from the Lord, they have now come to the time of judgment. God has proved His case against these people. In the beginning of the chapter, He enumerated their sins. They had broken the Ten Commandments. If you break one, you've broken all. Therefore, He hands down His decision that He is going to judge them. I want to tell you something. I'm frightened for America because I think the preachers of America have failed. They have failed miserably. It is a fearful thing to stand before you today. I sense and know every time I walk from that seat over to here, there's a nervousness that comes over me. I haven't been able to get over it in 25 years of preaching. It's a fear that I have. I'm going to be imparting God's Word to these people, and eternity will depend upon the Word of God because that's what we're going to be judged by. The books will be open, the Bible says, and we're going to be judged according to the books. Don't you want to know what the Bible says from what you're going to be judged against? I think we have a burden this morning. That we know the truth so we don't live in the bondage that comes. The second point is that the priests misled the people by condoning that which was evil. I want you to see here, verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. There was a bankruptcy of character in Israel, and it told on every one of them. The priests condoned evil, and the people followed their example. What we need in this country is a revival of decency, honor, integrity, convictions among Christians. Used to be, but today there's not much there. There is nothing Christian about getting drunk. But yet the preachers of America today have said it's all right to drink. This is you go online, read all the polls, go to George Barna, read the polls about drinking. The majority now of preachers in America believe it's all right to drink. The Bible says, verse 11, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. It doesn't say anything here about how much you're supposed to drink of it, does it? It just says wine and new wine take away the heart. The word heart there is the understanding. The ability to be able to think biblically is taken away by adultery and drinking. These are two major areas that we're going to focus on here. There is nothing Christian about getting drunk or drinking. Let me tell you something this morning. Any girl or boy who gets drunk is crooked. Can I just be straight up with you? Because you won't hear this in most churches today. We'll say, well, they're just backslidden. They didn't know. Let me tell you something. You have to be a complete fool to not know the errors and the sin of what's associated with drinking and smoking and all the other vices that destroy your body in this day and age. You'd have to live in a cocoon somewhere to not know. We got to call things straight. We've got boys and girls that have gone to church all their life, staggering out of all-night strip clubs, filled with liquor and holding cigarettes in their hands. And they somehow, their parents think, well, they're just backslidden. You know, this concept of backsliding, there's only two mentions in the entire Bible of this phrase, backsliding. Verse 16, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. This whole concept of backsliding that we have today is not biblical. The word for backsliding here does not mean going backwards. It means to dig in the hoof. The Hebrew word, to dig the hoof in and refuse to move. Okay? When a farmer goes and they call the cows, you know, they all come walking back to the barn at night, and you got one or two stubborn ones. You have to go out there, and you pull on the rope, and they dig in the hoof. That's backsliding. It's not this idea of sliding backwards. It's the idea of rebellion. Rebellion. And yet we've created this whole concept today of backsliding, which is not rebellion. It's just that they're ignorant. They've messed up and whatever. That's not biblical. When God brings up their backsliding, He's talking about their rebellion and their sin. Not about that they're good and that you just are messed up a little bit. What can be expected of an America where young people are having drilled into them the philosophy that damns their soul? What can we expect for America? Blot out God and heaven and hell. That's what our preachers are doing. Eternity. And the philosophy will ruin you in this world and the next. That's what we have today. We don't believe Genesis. We don't believe the Bible. We don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. Where Billy Graham says that he believes that there are alternative ways in which people can be saved. Did you know that in his last years he's come to that understanding? That he believes that there's some merit to the Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory? But it's not in the Bible. And yet we find that we can believe that. What's happened? We've got away from the book. And we're letting our minds tell us. The atheists love this. You understand that? The atheists love it. They don't have to work very hard in America anymore. Because they are watching religion collapse on its own. Because religion is falsehood anyway. They're watching the superstructure of religion collapse on its own because people have ignored this book so long that they don't even know it. So you have people that believe that Santa Claus is a Christian concept. Where did that come from? And that Easter Bunny is at home in the church. We've got churches that are hosting that thing, and they have Easter bunnies coming to church. We had them in Milton back in April. Did you know that? Where the Easter bunny hopped into the church to lead the kids outside for the Easter egg hunt? Where was Jesus? The one who hung on that cross and died and rose again the third day. What are our children? The children are being led astray by the Easter bunny. And we wonder why our children are rejecting the truth of God's Word. Hello? We're doing it to our own selves. God has destroyed nations in the past for less than what America is today. I think I can say that, having studied history. God has destroyed nations for less than what America is today. We trample on the Lord's Day. We trample on His Bible. We pull down the standards set up by our godly forefathers. And we think we're going to have an outcome that's different. And our preachers are saying, we're having great revivals. We're having great revivals. And yet we've got more children and more teenagers that are having babies out of wedlock. We've got more children that are not going. They're crying out for missionaries to come. Nobody's going. Very few are going, I should say. We've got churches all across America. I hear from people all the time telling me they got, I know of at least 8 churches right now in one area in Pennsylvania, fundamental churches that have no pastor. The pastor's left to go take associate pastor positions in bigger churches and left these little works with nothing. And pulpit committees have been going out and looking, and so what they've had to do, they now have an itinerant ministry now with some of those men up there with IPM, where they're going and they're going and preaching in a cycle so that these churches will at least have somebody that will preach the Word of God. And that's all over the country. We've got that situation. Why is it? Because our minds are on the culture. Minds are on the culture. They're not saturated with the Word. 2 things this morning. Number 1, the priests stopped preaching the Word of God and the people were being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And number 2, this is so important, they allowed and condoned the sin of the people without speaking against it, without preaching the Word of God against it. As a result, God says, I've got a problem with you. I'm going to judge you. I'm going to remove you out of the priesthood. Does Israel have a priesthood today? No. There's no temple, there's no tabernacle, there's no place of worship in Jerusalem that the people go and there's priests that are conducting. God took it away from them because the priesthood failed. And what I'm seeing today is God's taking away the preachers. He's taking away the preachers. Isaiah warned about that he would take away the preachers because they will not hear. They will not hear. God help us this morning that we might saturate our hearts and minds with the Word. You can't skip days. You can't make it on just what you hear at Sunday. Won't do it in this culture. You've got to saturate your heart and mind. You've got to know the Word of God. And the only way you're going to know the Word of God is to study the Word of God and pay attention in church and not be sleeping or thinking about all the business of this week and writing down lists of notes of things you're going to do. Later on, you're not listening, and you will be destroyed. Not because Todd Brainerd said it, but God said it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is a reality, folks. This is not pie in the sky way off out in the future. This is happening today in America. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time that we've been able to spend in Your Word. Lord, the truth is so hard many times to take in. We'd like to pretend that there's really not any problems, that they're in just some places around the world, but Lord, we see all across America a strong move away from truth. Lord, we see that the preachers of America, for the most part, oh, there are faithful ones here and there all around the world. We don't want to discount them at all. But Lord, for the most part, they're teaching what people like to hear. They're not dealing with the hard, tough issues of sin. And as a result, they condone and allow things, and our children, our teenagers, our families are being destroyed one by one because we're ignorant of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You might work in our hearts this morning. Lord, as we have this special time today of dedicating little Jesse, Lord, may we pray for our children. This is the world that they face. It's a world that hates Jesus. It's a world that hates the Word of God, hate the Bible, despise it. They hate the truth that's communicated by it. This is the world that our children are growing up in. Lord, we pray that You'd put a hedge about them, that You would seal them, dear Father, that they would not walk away from the truth, but that they might have ears to hear. Lord, we pray for little Jesse to be saved one day. He'd come to faith in Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Father, that You might call him and use him for Your honor and glory. Father, bless Your word today, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.